Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. But Peter objected. Jesus explained to Peter, you know, if I do not wash your feet, Peter, you have no part with me. Peter then goes to the other extreme and says, well, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. However, the Lord explained that the rest of Peter's body was clean, but not all of them present were clean. And thereby, Jesus was revealing that some of them present were not clean. For Jesus knew the one who was not clean and in what manner he was not clean. Jesus continued to speak about humble service to one another. And it continues in the rest of John 13. And what we shall see tonight is perhaps really the root of being able to wash one another's feet. I will humbly serve my brothers and sisters when I can get in me something that he taught here in this second half of John 13. Knowing that his revelation that not all of them were clean would trouble the hearts of his disciples. He then addressed this troubling issue because the uncleanness of the one would affect Jesus in ways that the disciples could not imagine. They had no idea what was going to be happening in the next 18 or so hours. So we notice this morning where Jesus spoke to his disciples, recorded in verses 12 through 17. And he was explaining there to them how there's a blessing in understanding what it means to humbly serve one another and to actually do it. And he continued to speak now in verses 18 and 19. I do not speak concerning all of you. I know whom I have chosen. But that the scripture may be fulfilled, he who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe that I am he. When Jesus finished speaking of humble service, he then went back to a subject that he was addressing earlier. The fact that not all of them were clean. One of them was unclean. And he affirmed that he knew whom he had chosen, meaning that he knew who was clean and who was not clean. Concerning the one who was not clean, Jesus stated that the scripture had to be fulfilled because Psalm 41, verse 9, from which Jesus quoted, said this, even my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, such as with the money box, or the power to work miracles, or the preaching of the gospel. Even my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me. That very thing happened on that night that we're reading about, starting with this morning's service. Jesus ate bread, the Passover, with his betrayer. Jesus even washed the feet of his betrayer. Yet, what did that unclean one, what did that betrayer do shortly after this? That betrayer lifted his heel, symbolically speaking, of course, but Jesus had just washed his foot. Now, like with that foot, he's raising it against Jesus as if to kick him. Just picture Jesus down there at the feet of Judas, and Jesus has the foot of Judas in his hand and he's washing it. And now Judas wants to kick Jesus. Jesus said all these things with the betrayer sitting right there. He's not left yet. In fact, the betrayer is sitting close enough to Jesus that we'll see here in a little bit that Jesus took some bread, dipped it in the sauce there, and handed it to him. Now, how far away would Judas have to be? Well, you see where I'm holding my hand now. And if Judas was touching directly, that's how far away they would have had to have been, I guess. Or maybe across the table from each other. Amazing. Then in verse 19, Jesus stated that he was prophesying, revealing these things beforehand so that when the disciples saw it, they would believe that Jesus was he, the Messiah of the Hebrew Scriptures. He had already done numerous things to show his true identity, but they would go into the world preaching a new religion. Something people had never heard before, and they needed all the proof they could get. And Jesus gave it to them. Therefore, listen to what he said next, verse 20. Most assuredly I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. Whoever received the apostles received the one who sent the apostles, and that would be Christ. And whoever received Christ was receiving the Father. So if I receive the testimony and teaching of the apostles, well, I'm sending the one, I'm receiving the one who sent them. And that would be Jesus. Which would mean then that I'm receiving the one who sent Jesus, I'm receiving the Father. But the reverse is also true. If I reject the testimony and teaching of the apostles, then I reject the one who gave them that information. And that would be Jesus. And if I reject Jesus, then I'm rejecting the information of the one who gave it to Jesus, and that would be the Father. We need to get that thought nailed down in our minds, because many people want Jesus, but they don't want the teaching of his apostles. Many people want God, but they don't want to have anything to do with Jesus. Reject one, you reject all. Receive one, and you receive all. Now Jesus really shook them up with what he said next. Watch this, 21 through 30. When Jesus had said these things, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." Then the disciples looked at one another, perplexed about whom he spoke. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter, therefore, motioned to him to ask who it was of whom he spoke. Then, leaning back on Jesus' breast, he said to him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is he to whom I shall give a piece of bread when I have dipped it." And having dipped the bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Now after the piece of bread, Satan entered him. Then Jesus said to him, "What you do, do quickly." But no one at the table knew for what reason he said this to him. For some thought, because Judas had the money box, that Jesus had said to him, "Buy those things we need for the feast," or that he should give something to the poor. Having received the piece of bread, He then went out immediately, and it was night. Having spoken to the disciples that one of them would lift his heel against Jesus, and as Jesus contemplated more about what that one would do to initiate the whole process, Jesus was troubled in spirit. Well, are we surprised? The fact that a friend would do what he was about to do, Judas, and what that initiated, the beatings, the disrespect, the scourging, the crucifixion, and the separation from the Father on the cross, all that was being initiated by what Judas is doing right here. And Jesus was shook up. And he then started to reveal this to his disciples. He said something that surprised them all. One of them would betray Jesus. Now think about this for a moment. These 12 men have been with each other for 3.5 years. Not only have they heard Jesus teach and seen him do miracles, but they've seen each other teach and do miracles. Because, you know, Jesus sent them out to do those things. Excuse me. You know, they had done many things together. You know, one of the songs we just sang tonight, you know, sometimes we laugh together and cry together. They had done those things together. They had argued with each other. They had consoled one another. They couldn't believe that one of their number would betray Jesus. I mean, how would that trouble your spirit? Think of one of your friends, someone you would even call a close, familiar friend, betraying you to your enemies, leading to your death, and they're doing it all for a little bit of money. Now, would that trouble you? Oh, it would tear us up, would it not? Verse 22 says that the disciples looked at one another with perplexity. And you know what that tells me? That means the betrayer had hidden his evil plans and other evil things that he had been doing. In other words, when Jesus revealed these things, they didn't suddenly say, oh, I knew it was Judas. That has to be. My guess is Judas. No one said that. Judas appeared to be a holy man, just like all of them. However, as you can imagine, they all wanted to know who it was. And so Peter, bold Peter, notice how he always stands out. In this chapter, he's going to stand out 3 times. Here's the second time. He's the one who just has the gumption to ask the Lord, although he's not sitting right next to the Lord. So he asked the one who's leaning up against Jesus, the one whom the Bible says Jesus loved, and most commentators and scholars believe that that was John himself. So Peter would ask John, you know, ask the Lord who it is. So he turns around and he asks the Lord, who is it? Jesus gave John and Peter a sign. Jesus would dip his bread, then give it to the betrayer, further fulfilling Psalm 41, verse 9. Jesus dipped the bread and gave it to Judas. Once Jesus gave Judas the bread, the Bible says, Satan entered Judas. Imagine that. Satan found a way right into the inner circle of Jesus and his disciples. Can you believe it? Once that was accomplished, Jesus did not avoid his hour. He did not delay it anymore, but he told Judas that what he was to do it quickly. No one else knew why Jesus said that to Judas, not even Peter and John. I mean, they didn't know that the betrayal was about to happen, and they didn't know how it would happen. In fact, I would say even Judas didn't know why Jesus said what he said. He didn't know, he should have known, but he didn't realize that Jesus knew all that was going on. And John told us that the others, you know, they were all speculating, well, why did he tell that to Judas? Oh, Judas has the money box, so it must be that he wants Judas to go out and to buy some more things for the feast. And some of the others thought, well, no, maybe he's going to give to the poor or something. They all had their speculations as to what it was. And Judas did as Jesus instructed. When Judas received the bread, he lifted his heel against the Lord, going out into the night, showing that since we know that Jesus was arrested that night, this feast and the revealing of Judas didn't happen during the day. It's not like they're eating the Passover at 12 noon. That's not what's happening. They're eating it at night. And we know it's at night that Jesus is arrested. So we're talking about this whole thing happening, you know, minutes after this. Maybe an hour or two at the very most. Then in verses 31 and 32, Jesus spoke of glory. So when he had gone out, Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him immediately. Now that Judas is gone, Jesus spoke of glory because the Son of Man would be glorified. And it started to happen at that very moment. Jesus would be glorified in death, and the things to initiate his death began when Judas left the room and went to the enemies of Jesus. And so not only would Jesus be glorified, but God would be glorified in Jesus. And if God was glorified in Jesus, then God would also glorify Jesus, and he would do it immediately. No more delay. No more avoiding the people who sought to kill him. Then Jesus said another thing that troubled the apostles, especially Peter. And watch what happens in verse 33. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. So now I say to you. Jesus clued his disciples in further, revealing that he would only be with them a little while longer and then he'd be gone. They would try to find him, but just as the Jews, they could not go with him. But they had always been with him. They had always followed him in person, not in the same way we do. You know, we follow his teachings. But they literally followed him as he walked down the road. He's going to Samaria, that's where we're going today. He's going to, you know, Bethany, that's where we're going today. And they would continue to follow him, as we do today. But for the present, they had work to do of which they did not know. And since he was going away, they needed to hear something, which is what he said next, 34 and 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Since they were to be without his personal presence, they needed to hear something most important. He gave them a new commandment, and new because it superseded a similar command given by Moses. In Leviticus chapter 19, Moses had given what Jesus on another occasion said was the second greatest commandment. Moses had written in what we have as Leviticus 19:18 these words, "You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." God speaking through Moses. Well, the new commandment was still love your neighbor, but the old commandment was love your neighbor as yourself. That was the measurement. The new commandment, again, was to love your neighbor, but it went to a higher level. We were to love one another as Jesus has loved us. Jesus loves us even more than we love ourselves. Jesus loved us completely, sacrificially, selflessly, and in spite of who we are and what we've done. If the disciples, and I'm going to include us, of course, in that, could love one another as Jesus has loved, then he said, you're going to communicate a huge message to the world. You're going to be telling the world that you are disciples of the Christ. While one man says, God damn America, Jesus said to love one another as he has loved us. And he did not love us by damning us, because he did not come into the world to judge the world, but to save the world. And that's what we want to be doing. That's why we're here. We are here to bless and to curse not. Now Peter has to have his say again. Verses 36 through 38. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him, where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake. Jesus answered him, will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me 3 times. The ever curious Peter, wanting to know who the betrayer was, then wanted to know where Jesus was going. You know, Peter liked Jesus, and he liked being with Jesus. He liked having him around, and he didn't want to be without him, just as we would be. But Jesus assured Peter that he couldn't follow him right away, but that after a while he would. Peter wanted to be with his best friend. But Peter had to be patient. Jesus had always led Peter down the right path. And Peter knew that. How many times had Peter done something and he was wrong and the Lord was right? He's right again this time. And so, Peter, I'll take care of you. Even though you will not see me or hear me in the way that you do now, I'll take care of you. I'll still be with you. Peter didn't like what he heard. And he demanded to know why he couldn't follow the Lord right now. In fact, he voiced the passion of his heart that being with Jesus, following him wherever he went, meant more to him than anything. Jesus, in fact, it means so much to me, I'll lay down my life for your sake. I'll die for you. I've been living for you. I'll die for you. Peter's declaration of loyalty was so strong and passionate, so extreme, that the Lord questioned Peter's loyalty and predicted that Peter would deny the Lord three times before the rooster crowed. That means before we hear him crow the next time. So in other words, he's not saying, well, in a week, before the sun comes up, before that rooster crows, you're going to deny me not once, Peter. Which could be, you know, we could say, well, he got caught off guard, he slipped up. Not twice, because you're still shaken up, but three times, it's determined that you just want to let the people know you don't know who Jesus is, and you don't want anything to do with them. You're going to do that tonight, Peter. Speaking of love and showing love is not liberal and is not conservative. It is Christ-like. And if we love not as He loved us, what hope do we have? Let us therefore die to ourselves and then love as He did. Serving one another by washing feet or by some other lowly action is not liberal and is not conservative. It is Christ-like. If we do not serve one another, what hope do we have? Let us then serve one another even as Jesus served us. For brethren, as I've shown you before in Luke chapter 12, Jesus has revealed that when we get to heaven, He will invite us and make us sit down, and He will gird Himself and serve us. Now, we looked at this morning Jesus washing the feet of His disciples. Can you imagine having been there that night? Wow, what an experience that would have been. But it's not possible for us to have been. I mean, just it's gone. And yet, Luke chapter 12 reveals that in heaven, we can have a similar experience. In fact, it will probably be even better. But that's only if I follow Him wherever He goes. And right now, He's in heaven. And He died, and I have to die too. Both in the spirit, if I haven't done so yet, and then in the body. And then I can be resurrected, and I have the hope of joining Him. If you don't have that hope, please don't leave here tonight without doing what you need to do to make sure you have that hope. If we can assist you in that, please come forward now as we stand and sing.